I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey. I'm here with all of the tools today. We got the substitute, Mr. CSPN.
What it do?
Brandon Coach Lumberg.
Hey, what's up, man? Nothing exciting going on over here. CJ's nice.
Oh, is that a little swipe at CJ due to his fantasy success, question mark?
I didn't even hear him.
Oh, so I didn't take it that
right. I'm Drake.
That would piss him off more than the other stuff.
And then we got the Jedi Master, Nasty Nate Parker.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
That's all you got for that intro? Thanks.
I mean,
wow.
I got you.
Oh, rude.
That fits it. All right, let's dive right into this. Cheers, boys. We're diving straight in every... And before we get started today, guys, I just want to let you know that all our stats today for our five games of the week have been extensively researched, and we pulled some beautiful nuggets here so you can predict what's going to happen later on the season based on what's happening with your teams now. And we're getting all these numbers by using SysDataHub Pro. SysDataHub Pro provides statistical insight into each player and game that cannot be found anywhere else and is trusted by NFL teams, writers, broadcasters, fantasy players, and avid football fans. Learn more and request a free one-week trial by using www.sportsinfosolutions.com. That is www.sportsinfosolutions.com.
Welcome to Five Tool Trivia. Oh,
yeah. And without further ado, we go to trivia with our boy, the substitute,
hey.
CSPN.
I didn't know we was doing trivia so early, but I got a doozy for you guys, per usual. I'm actually deciding right now, as I speak, what question I'm going to ask, because I did a lot of research. But without further ado, after my thoughtful decision, the trivia question today is, who are the only two coaches in NFL history to win more than 75 regular season games with two different franchises? I'll ask it one more time. Who are the only two coaches in NFL history to win more than 75 career regular season games with not one, but two different franchises? And, you know, we'll go at his, you know, usual order. Brandon, we'll go you. Actually, we're not going to go you first because you know how that goes. Nate, we're going to go you first. Then we're going to go Brandon. And then we'll do Woody last. Nate, you got something for me?
Okay. Say Tony Dungy and Bill Parcells.
Tony Dungy and Bill Parcells. Ooh, those are Bill really Parcells. Good guesses. Good. I like that. You're ready for it. Brandon, who do you have?
Oh, man. I feel like Andy Reid might be one. Now that he brings up Parcells, I'm probably going to go that route. I did think Gruden.
All right, I think I got it.
All right, go
ready,
for
you
it.
Ready for this?
What you got for me, Woody?
Dick Vermeil and Mike Holmgren.
Vermeil
and Mike Holmgren. Those are some really good guesses. All right, so Woody gives me Dick Vermeil, Mike Holmgren. I murdered that. Mike Holmgren.
Yeah.
Brandon
Andy Reid
gives me Andy Reid and Bill Parcells. And Nate gave me Tony Dungy. And who was your other one?
Parcells.
Bill Parcells.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. So, wait, Brandon, who's the two you gave me? Andy Reid and...
I copied him.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So, great guesses. Obviously, Tony Dungy, he coached with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then the Indianapolis Colts where he won a Super Bowl. Andy Reid is a great guess. We saw him star for Philly and then Kansas City. Bill Parcells, he's been all over the globe, all over the NFL. And then you got Dick Vermeil, who coached at, I want to say Kansas City, and then for the Rams.
And also Atlanta briefly, I think.
Oh, yeah, there we go. And then you got Mike Holmgren, who coached for the Packers in the early to the late 90s, and then the Seahawks in the early 2000s for about a decade. The correct answer is Andy Reid.
Eagles, Chiefs.
Yep, he has a record for Philly of 130.
I wasn't sure if he got it in Kansas City yet.
Damn. And Kansas City, he's 92 Kansas, and 38.
Wow.
And
damn.
The second correct answer is Mike Holmgren.
Good job, hey, damn. There we go.
Congrats, boys.
As I said, Green Bay Packers. He coached those guys from 1992 to 1998. He compiled a record of 161 wins with 111 losses. And he also coached the Seattle Seahawks from 1999 to 2008, and he compiled a record of 86 and 74.
Dick Vermeil did the first year of The Greatest Show on Turf, too, I think.
He did. He did.
Yeah, and Mike Martz filled in.
So, Brandon, your guess was a good guess, too. It's funny because if I remember my research correctly, Bill Parcells actually doesn't have more than 50 career wins with any franchise. Now, he's been with four, and he's been successful with four, and he has, you know, more than 25, 30 wins with each franchise, but he has
Quincy
none.
Took Quincy Carter to the playoffs.
He did.
Man, also, I was thinking John
Bill Parcells
Gruden
was
first.
My guess.
Yeah, that was Nate at first, but soon as he said it, it resonated right away. Like,
his but your initial guess was good, because I heard someone say John Gruden. John Gruden would have been a good guess, too, but, John I mean, it would have been a wrong guess. One, but wouldn't have been
I'm
a bad guess.
I'm just happy I got Mike Holmgren.
OG. There you go. Good job, Woody.
That is good.
That's why we save you for last, son.
Let's hop right into it. Top five games of the week. So the barn burner this week, the biggest upset in the NFL, who was called straight up by your boy on the pod on Wax. So I'm going to have to rub it in because everyone picked the Bucks. Everyone picked the Bucks except one.
Bro, but it's not even an upset.
It's an upset when everyone's writing them off.
I mean,
no one thought the Rams were going to take the Bucks.
I don't think anyone writing the Rams off. I think we just picked the Bucks because we picked the Bucks.
Fair enough.
I mean, you know, kudos to you. I guess we'll give you a pat on the back in a toss-up game. I mean, both teams are going to be at the top of the NFC at the end of the season.
Well, I can't argue.
Yeah, I think this is your NFC
championship possible matchup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Cowboys
so
are in there, too.
Los Angeles Rams jumped out to an early lead in this one. 34-24, final score. The Bucks showed a little bit at the end, but it was really in garbage time. But the Rams really put the stifle on Tom, made him just step up into the pocket. Aaron Donald was all over the field applying pressure. It was beautiful. But before we jump into it and really dig into it, Brandon has broken us down some nuggets. And this is some stuff you guys should listen to very closely because this is the two best teams in the league. So if you're a gambler, you're going to be riding these teams a lot through parlays and through other things because these are guaranteed wins here. So listen to these nuggets. Brandon.
I'm not going to read everything that I wrote down here, but obviously Tom Brady, he racked up 400 yards passing. He had a good game for the most part. You know, it was the pressure that got to him. You already brought up the Aaron Donald factor. Aaron Donald was basically, you know, at his best, right? Like this was vintage Aaron Donald. He had a strip sack on Brady. He had four total pressures. He was constantly a factor in the Tampa Bay backfield. You know, anytime that he wasn't being double teamed on a play, Aaron Donald was making the most of that, man-to-man blocking, so to speak, against the Bucs. So that is something to consider down the road for Tampa Bay. Another point that I do want to bring, and this isn't a bunch of statistical stuff, but it's their secondary that I'm looking at right now in particular. I know last year we got into A little bit of a debate about the Bucs secondary and how they like to play man coverage. And that's something to keep an eye on. Also, in addition, they're a little banged up in their secondary as well. Something else to take note of. You know, it's a very interesting situation that the Buccaneers are in. They went into this game without Antonio Brown. And, you know, going into it, I was thinking, this is a Scotty Miller game. I know I put together a few DFS lineups before Sunday. I didn't have time to put 100 together like I'd like to, but Tyler Johnson was not, you know, in any of those lineups for me. I don't have his direct stat line right in front of me. Actually, I believe he had 23 receiving snaps.
He had specific drive where he popped in and caught like two balls on the drive, and it was huge. And then he dropped a touchdown pass.
He caught 6 passes, 63 yards. There it is. So he sprung loose on what could have been a huge game-changing touchdown, is what I have here actually in my notes. But the Bucs defensive line, they themselves struggled. When you're trying to compare that to the LA Rams and you're looking at championship caliber teams, I think that's really in large part the biggest separation between the two teams at this point in this particular game. Aaron Donald, again, we go back to that. You go to the secondary as well. Jalen Ramsey just paired with that defensive line. It's what the Bucs you expect to see from the Bucs defense was happening with the Rams defense, so to speak. So, again, Aaron Donald, dominant. You've got an MVP performer on your defense. Up front, you've got an MVP-style defensive performer in your secondary. You've got an MVP-caliber quarterback potentially at the helm. And you've got a very creative head coach. And I feel confident that the Rams, you know, they took that step forward. But again, the Bucs are banged up. They got to get healthy. And once they're healthy, I could see this being the future NFC championship game for sure.
No, I totally agree. Go ahead, Nate.
I have a fun stat for you guys. Tom Brady has only lost to the same team twice, nine times in his career.
Wow. It's impressive.
I mean, majority of his career, he was playing in the AFC East. So, I mean, it's just still impressive.
At its lowest point, AFC East. Yeah. Too.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers looked overwhelmed this game, right?
They did.
Obviously, yeah. Antonio Brown not playing with COVID, that was a big loss. You know, initially, I'm like, well, you know, Tampa Bay, they're still good enough to beat them without Antonio Brown. And they are. But Antonio Brown does give them just the added piece to use on offense. As Brandon just alluded to, you got a defensive player of the year caliber player on the back end of that Rams defense, but also within that front four in the interior as well. So that's a lot to deal with. But Tampa Bay, they just looked overwhelmed. But what's really alarming to me, and look, this is kind of what Tampa Bay did last year. Beginning of the year last year, they weren't a great running team. They got better as the year went on. So through 3 weeks, Tom Brady has played 198 snaps. He leads the NFL with 141 pass attempts. Now, he's playing lights out, no doubt about it. 10 touchdowns, one or two interceptions. He's playing great. But obviously, we know and we've seen Tom Brady, when he wins, it's because it's complimentary football around him. So everyone, you just got to pick it up. But this was a toss-up game. The Rams look really good. They're legit contenders. There's no doubt about it. The only concern the Rams have from here all the way up until week 17 is keeping everyone healthy. And I say that because they're not a super deep team. I mean, you got to think about what McVay and that front office has done in the last 2 or 3 years. They've traded away picks. They've gotten some studs. They're strapped. They're cap strapped. So if
they sold the farm, they've sold the farm.
Yeah. If a couple of guys go down, then that could be an issue for them. But until that happens, Rams, they're legit.
Yeah, I like
best
that.
Best team in football currently.
I have to give a nice shout-out here, and I think this dude is actually contributing to why this defense is starting to step up and look like the defense we saw last year. And that's, I guess I wouldn't say journeyman because it's two teams, but Kenny Young. Like, with the exit of Johnson III, we really were wondering who was going to hold down the backside of that defense and how key it was to be able to allow Jalen Ramsey do that roaming position that he's been designed for in that defense. And Kenny Young on Sunday had 10 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and a sack from the safety position. Like, that is big influence from a guy that was next man up. And those are the key. That's the New England mentality. You let the high-priced, mid-tier free agent who succeeds because of the system leave for money, and then the next guy steps up, and he fills the role. And if Kenny Young can play that way for the rest of the season, that defense is going to be a problem.
Yeah. I agree. If that's the case, you guys won't miss. I say you guys. What's one of your favorite teams? John Johnson. The loss of him this offseason,
the third.
Guys, yeah, I mean, you guys won't even realize it, to be honest. So I picked Tampa Bay because I thought Tampa Bay would go into this game running the ball. And even though through the first 2 weeks they hadn't ran it successfully, we saw in week one, we saw a pretty bad Chicago Bears offense be able to run on the Los Angeles Rams. So, look, the Los Angeles Rams are Super Bowl contenders, but I haven't decided whether or not teams can run on them yet. I mean, that still may be true, so it remains to be seen.
CJ, I got a stat for you. The Bucs did not run the ball well. They only had 35 total yards rushing, but I think it's safe to say the teams can run on the Rams, though, because when Tom Brady's your leading rusher, you can get ran on. 3 carries, 14 yards with a touchdown. Tampa Tom.
Hey, that's just under 5 yards a carry.
Anyone else have anything to say about the Bucks Rams? Besides, I mean, we both, like, this was a clash of titans. Might be the NFC championship matchup.
This was a doozy for a week 3 game.
Yeah.
It was nice. This was great.
It was a fun one. This was a good one. Down to the wire. Let's skip down the list a little bit, actually. Let's take a peek at the second best game, I think, of Sunday, which was the Los Angeles Chargers and Kansas City Chiefs. The Chargers in this one, they came out, and I smelled upset here. And
this is some bias I smell here.
You
skipped over the.
Well, was this not the most impressive game? This was the most impressive game.
All right. Keep it moving.
But the Chargers, 30. Kansas City Chiefs, 24, and man, this was a doozy because the Chargers did everything to let the Chiefs back in this game. They got hit for 3 illegal motion penalties, or what was it?
The illegal procedure or whatever.
Illegal procedure, yeah. The same one that haunted them the week before that caused them to lose the game. And, you know, if they can get disciplined, this is a team, man. Justin Herbert's best game of the season by far. It was impressive. 4 touchdowns. And Mike Williams solidifies himself as maybe a wide receiver 1 this year. If he can stay healthy.
I want to pose this question to you guys. Are you guys worried about the Kansas City Chiefs at all?
No.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, I am.
I expected you to say that. Why?
So here's the thing. Kansas City, name a team that Kansas City stopped on defense.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, me.
So your expectation, which is historically wrong, is that the team that you're expecting them to just outscore all of the opponents they face and not have to worry about having a stop on defense, because that doesn't work.
Yeah,
ask Peyton Manning.
Just like Brady,
he was legitimately on the greatest offense, the highest scoring offense in the history of the NFL, and they got dumpstered.
I mean, they made the playoffs.
By the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you're saying you're not worried that the Kansas City Chiefs can't stop anyone on defense?
No, because the defense gets they let it go. The veterans, the youngsters are getting acclimated. By midseason, they'll be an average defense.
The Lions need. Okay, I just want to throw that out there because the Lions held the Kansas City Chiefs or held the Ravens to about half the number of points that the Kansas City Chiefs did.
And Hollywood Brown also dropped 3 touchdown passes.
Look, Patrick Mahomes has not had a defense since he's been a starting quarterback for the Chiefs.
100%.
Like, complimentary football, I do believe in. I do believe you need defenses to win games, not necessarily championships, but to win games. I do think you need a defense to get you stops. I agree with all of that. But at the same time, I've been consistent on the pod about Patrick Mahomes being an anomaly. And everyone wants to put other quarterbacks on Patrick Mahomes' tier, but no one deserves to be on Patrick Mahomes' tier.
All right.
And mind you, Chris Jones didn't play Sunday. He was out hurt. So that matters. But regardless whether
he's the best player on your defense.
I think Patrick Mahomes is good enough to mitigate all of that.
Okay, so
to mitigate all of those deficiencies. Okay. That's how great I think Patrick Mahomes is.
And if it wasn't for a third down and nine pass interference call, the Chiefs would have won that game.
Okay, so
like on that final drive, third down and nine pass interference call, the Chiefs would have won the game.
Okay,
here's how
worried I am about the Chiefs. The Chiefs, as they are now, are not going to make the AFC Championship.
That's a bold
call. As they are now. I like that.
They've been to back-to-back Super Bowls, so they're still a playoff team.
Number one. I'll put it. I'll say this now, without a doubt, the Chiefs are not going to the Super Bowl this year.
I wouldn't go that far. I will
go that far. Absolutely. But right now,
with Nate.
Keep track of this paper, CJ.
No, I'll agree with Nate a little bit here, though. I do think that they need to. You just brought up Chris Jones being out. That's a big deal. But the defense, he is a big key component, obviously, to the success of the defense. Component
with their
right. So Mahomes can overcome a lot of deficiencies, and the Chiefs can score a lot of points, and they can score a lot of points in a hurry. The defense just has to get enough stops for them to win games. I mean, they would have beaten the Ravens had they gotten a final opportunity, but the fourth down call, you know, against the Ravens obviously went the Ravens' way. You know, them getting that fourth and one, obviously, and them finishing the game. There is a recipe to beating the Chiefs, I think, controlling the football, running the football, things of that nature, just lessening the amount of possessions and opportunities that Patrick Mahomes has. You know, I look back to the Ravens game, not to look back, you know, to last week, but I look at how they were able to lock down Tyreek Hill and, you know, just kind of let things open up maybe for another guy, force him to go somewhere else with the football.
Chargers did a pretty good job on Tyreek Hill too.
Yeah. So they took copycat game football. So they see that everybody's going to try to do that and the Chiefs are going to have to adapt. And I think Mahomes will. I'm with CJ. CJ's convincing me on the fly here because I am concerned about how the Chiefs have played. I'm concerned about Andy Reid in the hospital.
Same.
I don't even, you know, there's so much adversity right now for this team, but there's enough talent for them to overcome it. Their own run game needs fixed. They got to get that figured out.
They
can win without it. Yeah, what they have.
I mean, Clyde Edwards had 100
run
yards.
Game that they had when they made it to the Super Bowl last year. Like that's the, you know what I'm saying? So
Pat Mahomes is the engine. You're right.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 100 yards and only 14 against.
I get it. I understand that Patrick Mahomes is special. I understand that. I understand that his arm talent is special. The way the way defenses have to adjust for him is special.
Well, you know what, guys?
With Clyde Edwards-Helaire having 100 yards against the Chargers, is that right?
I'm a little angry here. I'm about to tell y'all something. So listen up, because I got to tell y'all something right now. Justin Herbert, I think y'all need to give him some flowers here, because we're talking so much about the Chiefs. I think we saw the 1B in the next 5 years in the NFL. A lot of people think it's Josh Allen. I think you saw the 1B, the competitor to the best quarterback in the league, go head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes. And you know what? It took a little bit at the end, but he picked them apart that drive going down.
So don't get me wrong, Woody. I will give you I believe Justin Herbert is his future is to be a top five quarterback in the NFL. That is his future. He's very good at the quarterback position. But Josh Allen is definitely the second best quarterback in the NFL right now. I mean,
he's way better than Josh Allen was at year two. He's way better than Josh Allen was year one.
I'm saying as they are currently, I would take Josh Allen over Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert's the real deal. But where we differ, Nate, you can say, hey, you know, Patrick Mahomes is this, that, and the third. You know, he's great. You know, you put Josh Allen and probably a couple other quarterbacks from the same tier as Patrick Mahomes, and I'm the one saying no one is in the stratosphere, and that's not a knock.
Brady over everyone. And then Brady, after that, it's Mahomes and Allen.
I mean, Brady is the GOAT.
Brady doesn't put pressure on defenses the way Patrick Mahomes puts pressure on defenses. No one is in Patrick Mahomes' stratosphere. That's what. And so for Woody to say, oh, Justin Herbert will be 1B in 5 years. No, he won't. Justin Herbert will be one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but no one is on Patrick Mahomes' level, and that's why I am not. Is there reason for concern? Yes, they just lost back-to-back games, probably the first time ever in his career. But, I mean, come on. It's Patrick Mahomes. We've seen this guy do some incredible things.
I get it.
To play devil's advocate, because I do believe that Patrick Mahomes is going to be at least number one, like, for a lot of that period of time. But Justin Herbert did have a better rookie year. And if he does lead the Chargers to the playoffs in year two, in Patrick's division, you got to give the man flowers. That's all. It's a big step. It took Lamar how many years to win a head-to-head matchup with Patrick? And Justin Herbert did it year two, head-to-head.
Here's the deal. I'm not different, but okay. I think Justin Herbert is a very good quarterback.
You know?
I'm not willing to crown it.
This man threw a game-winning touchdown pass.
Just to come off the quarterback comparisons, I really like what the Chargers have. I think they're trending the right way. I'm not sure if they're a playoff team just because they're not playing clean football. So as far as talent,
penalties,
their roster, they're constructed well. They're actually playing well, but as you said, Nate, the discipline is lacking, the holding calls, the false starts, just really shooting yourself in the foot, not anywhere on the field, but it always seems like it's in a go-to-go situation.
Illegal formations.
I'd like to see a study of which states have, with professional football teams that have legalized weed, that are the highest penalty rates, because Seattle, they're known very much.
Might have something to do with it.
Yeah, like the weed is potent. I think people just, did he say hype?
Whoops. Hell yeah.
All right, let's jump into the Packers. Okay, here, I got a question before we move on to this game. Do the Chargers win this division?
No, the Chiefs win it. The Chargers won't make the playoffs. The Broncos will be the wild card.
Okay. I think the Chargers make the playoffs, but I think the Chiefs win the division.
So I think I'm with CJ. I'm with CJ on that. Like, the Chargers pass defense is great, but nothing like
best against wide receivers in the league.
Dude, the Broncos have a no fly zone like nobody else.
Hey, look, just the room for error is so slim in the NFL. The Chargers shooting themselves in the foot. They're going to shoot themselves out of their playoffs. And I don't even know what the stats look like as far as penalties and this and that. Just from the high test and just from watching the Broncos, they're playing clean football right now. Yeah. I think the Chiefs are the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. So, you know.
I get it. Guys, don't get me wrong. I 100% understand where CJ is coming from when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. We just disagree at the level of greatness currently.
We do.
NFL Week 3, Green Bay Packers 30, San Francisco 49ers 28. This was a fun game to watch, and it's so funny. It's time and time again. I know y'all going to call the Aaron Rodgers stand over here, but seeing it time and time again.
You more than a stand.
Well, team scores too quick. Oh, I got this. Any amount of time, man. The guy's just money. It's great.
Who else in the NFL, though? Shout out to my man, D'Amico Ryans, the defensive coordinator, former linebacker, former NFL linebacker.
Having a tough time year one.
I didn't get what he was doing, especially on that last drop. I mean, I get you want to play soft coverage, but damn, someone's going to be running a deep dig. And they did it twice. They ran it on one side of the field, then they ran it on the other side of the field, and then they're in field goal range.
Yeah.
Look, San Fran.
The 49ers climbed back into this one. It was like closer towards the end. I mean, they took the lead at the end. They had the game won.
Yeah.
Shout out to you guys and this pod, because I can say this. The way I watch games now is from a much more analytical perspective. So as I'm watching, same. I'm thinking like, hey, is this team legit or are they not legit? Whereas, you know, before it was just, you know, just casual fandom, right? Oh, some good football. 100%. I just want to see good football. But watching the Niners and the Packers, similar schemes offensively, you know, from the same coaching tree, watching Jimmy G, and watching Aaron Rodgers night and day. And that was the difference of this game, like point blank. I don't think the Niners have a great team. I know coming into the season, we expected them to be, at least I expected them to be really good. I'm not sure if I'm believers on them. And obviously Green Bay had, you know, they struggled. They almost lost to them. But I don't know. We'll see.
Here's a question I've been saving for this game. Do we see Jimmy Garoppolo in black and yellow before the season's over?
No. That's an interesting concept, but probably not.
No. If the 49ers fall out of playoff contention, which can happen quick in that division, and they can get value for Jimmy Garoppolo and get Trey much needed reps, you're telling me that they wouldn't send Jimmy out for a fourth or a third midseason?
Nope. No, I don't know if the Steelers did the Steel. I don't think the Steelers have the cap space to take him.
They do.
I mean, Trey Lance is now ready.
There's been some. Yeah, I saw by that pass in that red zone package. That was not a great pass, but it doesn't matter. I think Kyle would like shield him. Like he's still got to get the reps.
Yeah, I think Kyle wants to win now. Like even if he's a wild card team, he needs to get to the playoffs. He wants to secure himself as a head coach in the NFL because eventually people get tired of it.
49ers won't boot him.
I understand, but it's unfortunate, you know, with the injuries to the 49ers running backs and other players over the past couple years. I think right now just having Jimmy G at the helm is going to help them overcome. I mean, they played a hell of a game against the Packers, you know, so being able to do what they did this past week, even though they didn't finish the job, hell of a game for San Francisco. And again, you know, it goes to show, coaching does matter, even at the NFL level. And I got, like you just said, though, trading Jimmy G is not a good idea. I mean, you're just basically throwing your season away.
Even if they fall out, that's what I'm saying, though. If they fall out of the race, the two more losses in a row, they ain't making the playoffs in this division. Just flat out.
No, it's early. It's 17 games.
It's so early. What are you talking about? Yeah, Woody, all right, listeners,
we're talking about the best
overreaction Tuesday.
No, we're talking about the best division in the league.
No, what do you have a good point?
I'm not going to disagree. The AFC West is absolutely the most difficult division to play in the NFL. AFC West over the NFC West every day.
It's one and two. Yeah. It's one and two. It's them. Yeah. Those two. Those are the toughest divisions. And then you got the NFC North. The AFC North, excuse me.
What do you think, CJ?
It's not the AFC West. I know they're playing well. I know you got the Chiefs and you got two undefeated teams.
I still think it's the AFC North.
It's still early. I mean, it's still early.
Are you kidding me? No, you've got the Chargers. You've got
the Raiders.
The Raiders,
AFC North teams made the playoffs last year.
The three AFC North teams are not making the playoffs this year. Put it on wax.
No. So who's missing?
The Steelers.
Bold with a defense that's good.
It's not bold. Did you see
according to Tyler Boyd
Sunday?
Yeah, I did. Ben Roethlisberger's washed. That's why I'm talking about them getting a starting quarterback.
They're not. Well,
they have a playoff team.
I don't think the AFC West is the best division in football right now. Like, look, I'll be ready to say that in three, four, five, six weeks.
Like, are you kidding me? They have two undefeated teams, don't they? Are they? I think they're the only division of football that have two undefeated teams.
Denver has had the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Bro,
I get it. Denver's defense is also elite.
Three games. You're going to base that off of
worst teams
games
in the NFL.
I'm going to tell you right now, the AFC West is the best division of football. And when we look back at this, week 17, we'll all agree with me.
All right, write it down.
CJ will forget.
CJ shocked right now.
Look, I don't.
So Woody,
it's just
like,
more
put it this
projection
way.
What do we always go like?
I'll end after this because I actually want to talk about the 49ers and Panthers. But what do we always go back to? At the end of the day, who's under center? Derek Carr is playing MVP caliber football currently. Yeah, Justin Herbert, what he just crowned as the 1B. And then you've got Patrick effing Mahomes under center for the Chiefs. And you've got Teddy Bridgewater, who actually looks pretty good under center for the Denver
Broncos. Denver does have a good defense, though, too. So
like, you've got four of the best teams in football.
I think they're great. But we have a proven division full of straight killers for the past
years, or at least multiple years. At least 17 games.
All right. So if we're looking at it from like a power rankings perspective, I'm saying AFC West right now for sure, and I'd pick them for the end of the year too. If we're looking at it from a historical perspective, then yeah, you're right. The NFC West is very, very good. But I also But I also don't believe in the Cardinals, and I don't believe in the Seahawks.
I mean,
and I don't like bringing it back to the Niners and Packers, because that's the game we're talking about. I don't believe in either the Packers or the Niners. I don't think the Packers are as good as what they show, what they're showing. And I don't believe the Niners are as good as what they're showing.
With you on that.
Packers are easily going to win the NFC North, but I don't think they're like as good as they were last year.
And here's the thing. I challenge you on that, and I know this is going to come because it's going to come. I'm going to say the Vikings have a very solid chance to take the NFC North.
Not with that defense. You're contradicting yourself. You literally just said that you can't win with a bad defense, right? And the Vikings defense is Swiss cheese.
I have a way to end the argument right now. Who out of the AFC West that you're looking at right now gets to the Super Bowl? If you were to pick any team now, you know, I looked at the Chiefs and I said, I don't like what they look like right now. But at the same time, there's only one team in that damn division that I trust that could get to the Super Bowl would be the Chiefs. And it's crazy to even say that, because when I look at the Raiders, I'm like, they're really, really good right now. I don't feel confident that Derek Carr is going to get them to the Super Bowl. And then when I look at the Chargers, I don't think Justin Herbert, he's going to get there. He might get there now. Who knows? But I'm just saying,
reason I'm going hard on the defense thing is because you just said that 10 minutes ago. Like, you can't just say that and then not stick with it for the Vikings.
Well, Nate has a hell of a point.
You didn't let me finish.
Okay, explain to me how the Vikings win that division.
The Vikings
without a
pass
defense.
Rush. The Vikings pass rush might be a top three pass rush in the league.
All right.
Their secondary might be absolute trash, which I agree with. But that pass rush, they are getting home against pretty good offensive lines.
Bad secondary.
Danielle Hunter being back is very, very, very good for the Minnesota Vikings. What did I say at the beginning of the season? Preseason. I said, if the Vikings can turn sixes into threes, they're in contention.
So you're asking for a middle-of-the-road defense, and they've been Swiss cheese so far. Now, I will give you
not
this.
True.
They Have looked you- better in the second half against Seattle. They did.
And I know, again, I'm going to bring back everyone else's argument, and we're not even talking. We're in week three, and the Vikings have played three of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL currently. The Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. And in fact, they held Seattle to under 20 points, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but at this point in
I was impressed. It screwed me in my fantasy game. Yeah. Like, no, that's a good stat, Nate. Honestly.
If your defense is so awful, how the hell did you cover Tyler Lockett and DK?
Exactly.
I know Lockett's hurt. How serious was that injury? I haven't had a chance to even follow up on that.
He's fine. He came back
in. Yeah, he'll be okay. All right. Yeah. He came back in.
All right.
But yeah, no, I get what you're saying there, Nate. I was just trying to hold you accountable to the defensive stat that you gave, but that is a good stat. I didn't realize they played the top three scoring teams. That is a good stat.
No, it's not the top three scoring teams. I didn't say they're don't get me wrong. That's not what I said.
Top three what?
Three of the highest scoring offenses.
Okay.
Not the top three. But I mean, the Bengals playing really good football and putting up points, right? I don't have the stats in front of me. The Cardinals are definitely in the top five scoring points. They just drop points on anyone. They don't have a defense either. And then the Seahawks have also been putting up points on everyone until they met the Vikings.
All right, one last question. Who out of that division with the Vikings, of all the teams, what team gets to the Super Bowl if you had to pick one? And then we'll move on, because I just want that answer.
So
same as the AFC West.
They played Arizona. It's not applicable. Who else?
Arizona, Cincinnati, and Seattle.
All right, so Cincinnati is nowhere in total yards, top five. Neither is Seattle, or passing, or rushing. And Arizona is there in total yards and passing.
Okay, but still,
bold.
The in terms of the offensive structure and the personnel that they have, though, what Minnesota was able to do is kind of impressive, obviously.
Oh, no, I agree. I think their offense is great. We've known their offense is great for, what, about 6 years now.
No, defense. I'm saying defensively that the way that they've been
okay,
able
so,
to hold
so my point was
guys like
that
DK Metcalf and
Las Vegas Raiders 31, Miami Dolphins 28. This was actually probably the most interesting game of the week Sunday to actually watch. This game went to overtime. Jacoby Brissett led the Dolphins back here, and it, like we all said, I think we all unanimously said that the Dolphins offense would be better with Jacoby Brissett as a quarterback. Correct.
Potentially. I think I was undecided. I was like, I think Jacoby has all the skills needed to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but I haven't seen him put it together, and he looked pretty good against the Dolphins. It honestly took him two quarters to feel like he got into a rhythm where he was going to be able to keep things moving. Then, unfortunately, the Raiders also got into rhythm and just outpaced them.
Yeah, I didn't really watch this game.
I watched a lot of it because it went to overtime. Yeah. I watched a lot of the second half. And the Raiders, they got out in front of them, and then Jacoby started getting the garbage yards and then taking off running a little bit. And they were playing prevent defense and holding on. But then he was able to sneak it in there at the end, and they got him to overtime. It was like one of those comebacks where they played a little too much prevent.
Question.
Not enough pressure.
The Raiders went down 14-0, right? Was it
17-0? I think
it was okay.
Was it 17-0?
I don't know if it was. It was. They were down, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
I know Miami had a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. The opening interception. And I think you're right. I think it was 14. Then the Raiders came back out.
And this is what alarms me for Vegas, which is why when it comes down to the AFC West, I don't necessarily truly believe in the Chargers. For the Raiders, I think they're talented teams. I think the Raiders have a good quarterback. They have a really good offense. Yeah. Offensive line is can't really run the ball, even though Peyton Barber did have a solid day on the ground. John Gruden, he loves to run the ball. He believes in running the ball, and he's going to stick with running the ball. But generally for good teams, you'll see a good team go down 14-0 sometimes, and then they wake up and they'll blow back and beat a team 35-14. The Raiders, even though they're undefeated and came into the game 2-0, they still had a lot to prove. And the Miami Dolphins are not a good team. And so just the simple fact that they went down 14-0, kind of, it doesn't really sit well with me, personally. I mean, I don't think the Raiders are like that, because I think a team that was on the precipice of greatness wouldn't go down 14-0 to a team like the Miami Dolphins that missed the playoffs that don't even have their starting quarterback. Yeah. But that's just my personal belief.
See, you know I'm a well-documented Derek Carr non-fan.
Right. Hater.
And
go ahead and say
it. I wouldn't go as far as a hater.
What are you?
But non-fan. Oh. Daniel Jones, hater. Derek Carr,
BS
not
we
don't a
have
fan.
On this show today.
But that opening interception was egregious. It was terrible.
You know, like, you get that out of Derek Carr sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of those ones. I texted the chat. I was like, there's Derek Carr. I've been waiting for him to show up.
But you know what? It's just quarterbacks like that throughout like history, right? It's like, you know they're gonna get a defense one and something. Like Tony Romo was like that.
Brett Favre was like that.
That's another good one. You knew Eli Manning was like that.
Eli Manning was the king of giving the defense one.
Look, just because you like that doesn't mean you can't win the Super Bowl, but I don't know.
But the Raiders, they're 3-0, straight up. 3-0. So until otherwise, they are what their record is.
Yeah, I mean, what? They're 3-0 for the first time since 2002?
Legit victories, though. Well, maybe not that legit in this. Like, they beat the Ravens, who they caught at the right time with the running back injuries and Marcus Peters. Then they beat the Steelers.
I mean, those same Ravens beat the Chiefs.
Correct? But they also were a lot sturdier the next week on from losing their starting corner and two running backs.
I mean, like those same Ravens almost lost to the Lions.
Yeah, after Hollywood Brown dropped three touchdowns.
They can't
drops wait. Drops a drop. You're gonna make excuses for the Ravens all season? Like, legitimately. Like, well, we have to at some point.
And we Lamar would have had superstar numbers if Hollywood Brown would have just held onto the football.
I know. Tell me about it. I wouldn't have been sitting there praying Dallas's defense doesn't get another pick like, six last night. Drops. I'm like, stop.
We're talking about drops that hit both hands. And the most impressive part of those drops, he beat double coverage on all three. There were two guys trailing him by 3 yards on all three, and they just went right through his hands. One was but the other two were just right through his hands. No reason.
Hey, when Diggs was running that interception back, you should have saw my face and my reaction to that.
I want to bring up an alarming trend. The Ravens have only won their games by, I want to say, 2 points or less.
That's not alarming.
Yeah, if anything, that it might be kind of
Lamar's had trouble.
A galvanizing trait. Well, then I think we need to start propping up the Las Vegas Raiders.
It's a very good
because all of their games have been tight. And I actually, while I cannot say for sure that the Raiders are as good as what their record shows, they have played very tough. Late and very close football games, which to me is a sign of a very good football team. That is championship football, exactly.
That's what you get from Coach Gruden. You get a tough football team.
I mean, look, they.
I like that.
Yeah,
I got to give Nate credit for that one right there, and yeah. a couple good points. Just
I mean,
got to remember,
Raiders, like I said, they're a solid team. I don't think we should make too much of. I mean, look, a win is a win in the NFL.
Flat out, I just am not, and I know I'm going to catch crap from you guys for this, and I'm going off CJ's take here. I'm looking at last season and seasons before it. Derek Carr has looked like, many times before, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I point back to his matchup with Patrick Mahomes last year. It was one of the best games of the year. It was an absolute barn burner. The Raiders put up 50. But until I see him not turn back to, you know, his brother, like midway through the season.
No, all right. Time out. Derek Carr never once in his career has ever reminded anyone in their right minds of David Carr.
Yeah, like, he throws dumb picks. He's not consistent. My thing with him.
Look, I just think that. So, for the last year, we always talked about how divisional games are tougher and how when the Chiefs play a divisional game, how it's going to be tough. And now, because they lost a divisional game, like, there's a bit of overreaction. There's a bit of overreaction today. But,
yeah.
I mean.
No, I agree.
I mean, I think on the other side of things, we can look at the Dolphins and recognize they're not a very good football team. Like they have bits and pieces of what it's going to take to be good in the future. And I think Brian Flores
is not helping your Raiders points. But I agree. I think the Dolphins are pretty bad.
So again, last year the Raiders were a 10-win team.
Well, I have
right?
a hot take.
Like let's put this in perspective, right? We're three games into the NFL season. We're evaluating things as they currently are happening. The Miami Dolphins last year were, I believe, a 10-win team that just missed the playoffs. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, the Raiders actually were in the playoff hunt to like week 14 last year.
I get it, but I'm trying to put things in perspective and call these as I'm seeing them.
Right.
So what I'm saying is I think the Dolphins, under the right circumstances, could be that 10-win team again this season. But right now, their circumstances aren't lining up. On top of the fact that they had to make a quarterback change that they weren't expecting, I think Brian Flores is the correct coach to bring all of those pieces together. I think he's done a great job essentially rebuilding after Adam Gase left that team in shambles. But I think right now what we're seeing out of the Miami Dolphins is they're not ready.
No, 100%. I mean, their quarterback of the future, quote unquote, is probably no longer their quarterback of the future at this point, right, guys? Like, to the fact he keeps getting re-injured and he hasn't showed anything.
I disagree with that. I think essentially once Tua is healthy, they're going to put him back in the game just to actually see what they've got, because Jacoby's going to breathe there whether Tua is there or not, right? So they need to make a decision.
If they get on a roll, though, with Jacoby, Tua's not getting a starting job back.
I mean, he's 0-1 currently, so we'll see next week.
Yeah, we'll see, for sure. You guys think Tua gets back in if he comes back?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tua gets back in, yeah.
Too high of a draft pick to just let him lay on the bench. You guys are probably right. And then let's touch briefly, because we talked about them already a little bit, the Minnesota Vikings and Seattle Seahawks. This is a good win for Minnesota. They need to get in the books. Defense looked a lot better in the second half. Nate, you've been on the Kirk Cousins crusade. He looked amazing today again. And
go for it, sorry.
No, go ahead.
So in my 30 seconds, the one thing that I want to say is that the Vikings offense, if we look at their first half numbers versus their second half numbers, you're going to see a stark difference in offensive performance, which is for me as a Kirk Cousins supporter in this crusade, alarming. They put, like, Kirk and the offense put up points the first half. I don't know who makes that decision, but they kind of put it in cruise. In the second half, they haven't scored a second half touchdown the entire season.
The Vikings?
Except for maybe the Bengals game.
Oh. Interesting.
I know it's crazy, but it is what it is.
Okay. Guys, are we worried about Seattle's defense?
We're always worried about Seattle's defense.
Like Seattle. Seattle, like, they're one more loss. Like, I've already written off the 49ers. I don't think the 49ers are a playoff team this year. One more loss?
Whoa. Bro, it's a 17-game season. Calm down. Pump the brakes. It's week three.
It's crazy. That's crazy.
I just don't think the 49ers are a playoff team this year. Their secondary is trash.
It's funny hearing Nate tell you to pump the brakes. but... because, you know, I just want consistency out of all of this. But, I mean, I think it's too early to say the 49ers aren't going to make the playoffs.
No,
but now
I just,
that you bring it up, I agree with you.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. It's just like I'm not going. But here's the thing. If a pass rush with Nick Bosa leading it, like a pass rush like the 49ers, can't make a secondary better, they're a bad secondary.
So look, no one here has Seattle winning the NFC West.
I hope not.
I think you had Seattle.
I think I did have Seattle preseason. Yeah. If you ask me right Rams now, are... I wouldn't go with Seattle. I don't know, because Arizona...
One more loss. If they drop to 1-3, that is hard to climb out of in that division.
Don't hit your wagon.
It's one team in that division that looks great.
Brandon, tell us how you feel about Cliff Kingsbury.
I feel like they're doing all right now, but
they tried to give up the game today to Jacksonville.
That 69-yard field goal attempt was a classic. That'll go on the clip.
Hey, 68 yards. Let's be factual. Let's not try to get dirty with our statistics.
Beautiful return by Agnew, though. Beautiful.
That's
return
true.
By Agnew. That was great.
I mean, like
Urban Meyer was feeling himself for about 2 minutes.
He's like, you know what he did? He went back to his playbook. He's like, I swear I saw Nick Saban do something similar in the Iron Bowl. Maybe I'll just put a guy back there just in case.
Yeah. All right, guys. So anything, I mean, Vikings, obviously, that's their first win. If they could, their defense can be better. They could be in the playoff hunt this year for sure with an offense like that. Justin Jefferson also had that first big game of the season. That was nice to see. Any thoughts from other games throughout this season? What are the Panthers without Christian McCaffrey? Christian McCaffrey out for 3 weeks. They're looking at it. They're not going to put him in the IR. They're predicting 3 weeks, but you never know with a hammy pull. It can linger. It can linger bad. Yes. Just Chuba Hubbard looked good. Looked good coming in.
Chuba,
yes.
Definitely not on the level.
Carolina has Dallas next. That'll be their first real test. They haven't played anyone. They've played against two rookie quarterbacks in Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. And then who else did they beat?
New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with Jameis and new quarterback, I mean, no Michael Thomas. This is Carolina's first real test this week against Dallas.
Speaking and of overrated,
we'll see if they pass it.
But Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
It's at Dallas. Dallas is gonna whoop.
Oh. Like
they gonna say, so, yo, Dallas is gonna whoop.
Like
Carolina.
Like let's save our very obvious takes for the show on Thursday.
Hey.
But I'm not saying I disagree with you.
Overreacting week 3 playoff picks and then we'll revisit.
Look, week 17, these will be the playoff teams. Bet it. In the NFC conference, this is no order. Nothing to do with buys. Just these are the 7 teams is going to be in the playoffs. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, Seattle Seahawks, Los Angeles Rams, Dallas Cowboys. In the AFC conference, you're going to have the Kansas City Chiefs, the Denver Broncos, the Baltimore Ravens, Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, Buffalo Bills, Tennessee Titans.
Ooh, you got the Steelers in there, huh?
I have NFC, we match. Perfect. I have literally every single one you pick, that's exactly what I think is going to make the playoffs. But AFC, I think Chargers are going to get in there over the Steelers or Raiders, one of the two. And we might see the chance if they figure it out. I still think there's a chance with Billy Bell and the Patriots. If they figured it out, you grind it out.
Whoa. Are you kidding me?
I wish I wasn't. I'm not writing them off yet.
Reality check here. Like, I've got the Chiefs, the Titans, the Ravens, the Browns, the Bills, the Chargers, and the Raiders. On the other side of the ball, I've got the Pats, the Cowboys, the Niners, the Rams, the Packers, and the Vikings.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up our 5 Tool Sports Week 3 review. As always, thank you for checking us out. Check out Brandon's site, Football Scout 365. Check us out online, number 5toolsportspodcast.com. And we'll see you for the preview show later this week.
Starting October 1st, Woody, expect daily blog posts for sports betting analysis coming from yours truly, the Jedi Master.
We out. My mama says you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights when I was stressing and finessing, had to hustle to acquire a check.